Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Finally on the program tonight, markets and company news. Simon Brown from Just One Lap. Good evening to you and welcome. Let's start off with Naspers and Prosus crashing by as much as 10% overnight. Again, the tech companies finding themselves in the crosshairs of geopolitics. Explain to us what happened and what sort of recovery we've seen today. There's been a big buyback from Tencent itself.
Yeah, so evening, Jeremy. So this is the, and it's to be clear, this is the Biden administration, because, of course, he's still there until the 20th. And essentially, the Department of Defense has said that, yeah, we're worried about Chinese ownership within Tencent. Most notably, of course, that is WeChat. And therefore, we're designating it a company that is a part of the Chinese problem. Now, what this practically means is that if you work for Department of Defense, you can't have Tencent WeChat or any Tencent product on your phone. They probably don't. I mean, it's only really used in China, outside of China, from some Chinese expats, and probably many of those working at Department of Defense. So it is more than anything, it's a bit of semantics. It's not really going to hurt Tencent's income, profit, or anything else. But the bigger picture, as you said in the intro there, it's about geopolitics. We're going to see a lot more of this. We're going to see a lot more tit for tat. We had China just a bit before Christmas, a couple of their rare earth minerals saying no longer can be exported into the US. I mean, and that's around 70 or 80% of global supply at this moment.
Simon, a lot of South Africans would obviously have Naspers in their portfolio. I guess there was a little bit of nervousness yesterday.
Yeah, there absolutely was. I mean, at one point, the stock was down some 10% on the trading day. A fair bit of panic around that. It's trading, both of them trading largely flat for Tuesday, but it is going to be rocky going forward. Naspers is, of course, trying to reduce the impact of Tencent. You mentioned the share buybacks. What they do is they sell the Tencent shares either in the US or Hong Kong. They then use that money to repurchase Naspers and Prosus. They've been doing that now for better part of a year. It runs at about a 500 million rand per week. Although I noticed, interestingly, the week before Christmas, they did 1.5 billion rand, which was in very, very quiet traffic. And I imagine this week, with the price down quite markedly, they're probably fairly aggressive buying in the market.
Let's look at some investment advice now. And on your MoneyWeb program, MoneyWeb Now, earlier today, Simon, you had some interesting thoughts on small cap offshore investing, in fact, beating the NASDAQ. What was the thinking behind that?
Yeah, so I mean, it really was. I mean, the story of the last 2 years, 2023 and 2024, really was around the Mag 7 and Magnificent 7. And let's be clear, they had spectacular returns. NASDAQ and S&P both doing high 20% returns for the second year in a row. And this is, you know, absolutely spectacular. Those are, you know, typically would be deemed sort of 10, 11% in a year would be a good number. So my thinking was, well, you know, they've been great, but can we expect that in the years ahead? Another high 20, maybe even plus 30% return. I think the answer is no. So chatting with Keith McLachlan and digging around, and there are a number of small caps listed in the US. They might not be US companies. One, Lotus Biscuits, comes out of Belgium, but that have done way better than the NASDAQ. And the illustration is that with all the focus on the Magnificent Seven, and to a lesser degree, focus on tech stocks, there are a lot of companies globally and locally in the mid and small cap space which are offering really good valuations, great businesses, good profitability, and great prospects going forward, which you can buy on, you know, maybe sort of teen price earnings ratios rather than paying 40, 50, 60 times price earnings for some of the big heavyweight tech stocks.
Simon, another interesting note from a corporate leader in South Africa, and not the first time that these kind of warnings have been sounded. This time, the chair of asset management firm Coronation warning about South Africa's water security crisis, failing municipalities, and more we're seeing corporate South Africa express growing concern. We're going to hear this message again and again this year.
We absolutely are, and it's a crisis on multiple levels. Sengeza Zibo, who's Ryzen Zanzi, was making points, and he of course is chair of SCOPA in Parliament. He made a really telling point over the holidays, which is it's not just that, you know, Transnet, as one example, took 50 billion rand to buy trains that don't fit. It's that we still need the trains, and we don't have the 50 billion. So the crisis in infrastructure is everything from robots and water to ports and railway lines. And I think notwithstanding, load shedding has disappeared. Eskom has got some crises there as well. And it's not an easy fix. It's not a quick fix. It's not a cheap fix. You know, going back to Transnet, you know, some of the corruption that happened there is, you know, 10, 15 years ago, things that should have been done over a decade ago haven't been done. We don't have the infrastructure and we don't have the money. And it you know, even if it was full steam ahead on correcting this and getting things working, it's going to take time. And that time is, I mean, you know, we'll see some progress in a year or two, but you know, properly getting it back is going to be a decade if everything goes smoothly, which we don't have the best record of in this country.
Mm. Talking about crises on multiple levels, Newcastle, Vereeniging, two of the towns that are really reeling over the imminent closure of two plants in the ArcelorMittal SA stable. It's going to have a devastating impact on the community and jobs. And the share price, such as it is down by over 10% today.
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely is. I mean, they're talking around 3,500 direct and indirect jobs. We need to remember that in South Africa, someone with an income is often supporting potentially upwards of 10 individuals. So it really is going to be absolutely devastating. I can't help thinking that Newcastle more so, certainly probably around 3,000 of those 3,500 jobs are around Newcastle. It was an area which, you know, was coal mining. And of course, we understand the pressure on coal mining as well. And there hasn't been any form of development, industrialization, or anything happening in those towns. It's going to devastate the communities. It's going to hurt the municipalities, because of course they're going to get less rates and taxes. There is a sense of a bit of a sort of death spiral, and you know, we're talking Newcastle, we're talking Vereeniging at this point in time. This is happening in towns across the country. Truthfully, towns across the world. I mean, we saw this as far back as the 80s, again in coal under Margaret Thatcher in the UK. But small towns who, you know, and not dissing them in any sense, we all love a small town, haven't kind of moved on in from the industries that are just not that much part of the future. And unfortunately, coal mining and by proxy, steel fit into those.
And the writing there has been on the wall. I see the chief executive saying that there have been extensive consultations with government and other stakeholders that would include Eskom and Transnet. But this was the writing was always on the wall here, wasn't it?
It was, and those talks started back in December of 2023, so they went on for over a year. But there is a bigger question here, Jeremy. You know, part of the problem, you know, is logistics, is cost of power, but it's cheap imports from China. And what's happening right now is that China's got far too much steel that they're manufacturing, but they don't want to cut production because they want that capacity. They consider it a strategic resource. So they dump it essentially into Europe, into South Africa. But at some point, China's going to turn around and start wanting that capacity that they're producing, and they're going to stop selling it into markets such as ours. We have just in the last 10 days seen President Biden block the purchase of U.S. steel by Nippon Steel, saying that, you know, U.S. steel manufacturing is a strategic reserve. There is a real possibility that at some point in the next decade or two, suddenly we find ourselves wanting steel and simply unable to get it at decent prices, and that'll hinder our ability to grow as an economy.
Simon Brown from Just One Lap, thank you very much indeed.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.